take the reading from. Okay. Then I take the reading of God's word in Ephesians chapter 3. Oh, no, I should say Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Sorry, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. I begin reading from verse 1. Chapter 1, Ephesians, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place, in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. This is the reading of God's word, dearly beloved. May we all take heed for what the Lord has prepared for us to know in his great plan for all these spiritual blessings that he showered upon us in doing his will for our lives. Amen. As we can see here, in the very beginning of Paul in verse 1, Paul's word in verse 1, Paul identified himself to his readers at the time when this letter was written. It was not intended only for the Ephesian church, but it was intended also as a letter to different churches. So that includes us as well up to the present time. So he was an apostle, as the word we read declares, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. One sent with a message. An apostle is someone who carries a message from God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's sending a message of hope, a message for all of us who are sinners, the good news of salvation. And his apostleship was not declared or officially declared by anyone or even any leaders of the church at that time. It is by the will of God alone and through Christ alone, and for the glory of God alone. God was the agent. This is the only agent, is the only instrument who had made him an apostle. So Paul had not chosen his own vocation as an apostle, as a pastor, or as a worker for Christ. He never chose himself to do that role for himself. God had called him to a specific task, which is an apostle, one that is sent with a message. And next, still in verse one, to the saints. So Paul identified his readers. He called his readers or listeners But Mati, I think I'll just choose the readers because this letter is not for the Ephesians alone, but to other churches so that they can know the hope that's awaiting them through Christ Jesus, who were faithful in Christ Jesus. The word saint in the New Testament did not refer to one who is a super holy Christian or group of holy Christians only. Rather, the word was used to describe all Christians. All Christians, okay? That matter, they are all equal before the sight of God. There's no favoritism here. So that the word simply meant one who was set apart for service to God. All believers were saints, for that matter. They were set apart for ministry. So you are saved to be set apart, to be used in God's kingdom. Okay? Whatever your career will become, will be someday. Whatever your work may be, we are called for the ministry to use our gifts in God's kingdom. So in verse 2, Paul greeted his readers. This was a normal greeting in all the letters of this period, during that period. All the writer had identified, after the writer identified himself, he wrote a statement of greeting. Most often in post letters, grace came from God through Christ Jesus. So you can see grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether or not Paul intended that his readers should understand that grace came from God and peace from Jesus Christ was not something that is very clear at that moment. But God's grace is God's undeserved favor, which comes as a free gift. Peace is a total well-being under God's rule. When God rules our hearts, peace is all under his well-being. There is no preconception of any doubts or any fear, because peace is in that heart. So that God's grace is undeserved favor. It is not the absence of conflict or trouble. Note the order. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's grace that makes everything possible in that grace abundant for that believer who possesses that grace given unto him by God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that his total soul's well-being and sound life is actually assured. Okay? So God's grace makes it possible for our wholeness, for our sound life to be experienced by God's redeemed people. What is God's purpose in Christ? Well, we can see that in verse 3 up to 6, but we will focus our thoughts tonight on verse 3 because we are actually thinking about the spiritual resources that he's talking about here. When we assess the spiritual resources that we already have in Christ, so that God's will and purpose for our lives make it possible for us to move our lives forward for God's glory and for our enjoyment in walking with God through Christ on this earth and in serving him as well, so that these spiritual resources that was given to us must be claimed by each one of us. We must understand them. We must know them. Okay? So, verse 3 continually say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Notice the word blessed. Blessed is a past tense with ed. So the word blessed was a praise word and was a fitting way to begin a doxology of praise to God, whose grace had been revealed in Jesus Christ. The New Testament writers regularly use this word to describe God when he is being praised and was praised by his redeemed people, by his chosen people. Being chosen by God is one of the spiritual resources that God has given to us. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So the word praise here referred to what God has done for his Christians. He has blessed us since day one of our salvation. He had bestowed upon us a quality life. That is the best life. The newness of life in Christ is the best life that was bestowed upon us. Is always inherent in God's character. So the praise, all spiritual blessings in verse 3, that we are blessed with every spiritual blessings, referred to the extent of God's involvement in every believer's life situation. Okay? God has bestowed spiritual blessings. We will look into different Paul's letters. When Paul gave no hint in verse 3 that God will supply God, that God's spiritual blessings came in many parts. However, Paul wanted his readers to know that they were taking part in the full measure of God's blessing. In other words, all God's children are subject to receive his blessings in Christ Jesus our Lord. These Gentile Christians were not second-class citizens in God's kingdom. They were taking part fully and completely in all God's blessings that were intended for his redeemed people. So by this praise, in heavenly places, which God has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places, Paul was introducing a concept that is not in other New Testament writings. The concept is, in verse 3, does not refer to a place, but rather to the reference to the sphere where God is with Christ. Only in Christ that is spiritual blessings are given to us. So the phrase heavenly places is used 5 times in this letter of Ephesians. Not only God and Christ in the heavenly places, in verse 20, which indicate like act to us like this. And what is the exceeding, in verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated with him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So that is another heavenly places in Christ. Now, the power that are hostile to God and to Christ Jesus are also present when God is bestowing these blessings to us. Okay? That's why Paul, when he got these blessings of eternal life and the power that comes from God, there are a lot of hostile forces preventing the spread of the gospel. We are also facing everyday hostile forces that is at work against God's people. However, our encouragement as believers are also made to sit with Christ in heavenly places in verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6, which says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that is, again, our encouragement that we are made to sit with Christ in heavenly places. So this concept is to be distinguished from heaven, the saints' final abiding place. For the powers that are hostile to God and his purposes will not be in heaven. Okay? But only while we are in this world. Even though we enjoy the blessings of eternal life, the blessings of the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, there are spiritual forces that is fighting against us and against God's kingdom. No doubt exists concerning God's sovereignty and Christ's lordship in God's heavenly places and in on earth as well. God is still sovereign. He rules throughout the whole universe. That's why even though the devil is trying to tempt us, but he cannot crush us totally. The power of God is in us that enable us to call unto God for his strength and renewal to commit ourselves to serve him day by day through this through the Holy Spirit power and strength, and also the word of God that leads us to gain wisdom and knowledge and the fresh revelation of himself through our Lord Jesus Christ. The praise in heavenly places is also used in verse 3 to describe the sphere of spiritual blessings that Christians receive. So it is in the heavenly places in Christ. There's no other place. You can say in the church, yes, but the church itself does not bestow upon us the heavenly blessings, but it's only in Christ Jesus, okay? Paul used the expression in Christ to identify further the sphere of spiritual blessings that believers receive. And this phrase is found often in Paul's letters to describe the Christian's relationship to Christ. So to be in Christ is to be related to him personally and to be a part of his body, the church. This is where the expansion of the meaning of our relationship with Christ in his body, so that we are not alone when we receive newness of life. All the members of the body of Christ receive life eternal from him, and that the body of Christ are functioning together for the glory of God and for our spiritual growth, so that all the spiritual resources that we need to fulfill God's will for our life will be our daily portion and daily experience and daily motivation in serving Christ. And finally, as Christians, we should understand, but at this point, in verse 3, that we possess every spiritual resources or every spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We all possess already, okay? We already possess them to fulfill God's will for our lives. There is a story which I would like to illustrate, verse 3. There is a story which was told of a wealthy London businessman who searched many years for his runaway son. One afternoon, he was preparing to board a train to London when he spotted a man, rugged, dirty, smelly clothes he wears, begging for money from the passengers along the station's platform. His first impulse was to avoid the beggar, but there was something strangely familiar about this man, which this businessman recognized. When the beggar approached the businessman and asked if the businessman could spare a few shillings or a few pence, the businessman realized and noticed in his equations that he had found, in many sense, he felt strangely assured that this man who is asking for money is his actual son. And with tears, he recognized his son. But of course, because he is wearing a smelly, rugged clothes, probably has blurred his identity in his eyes. But as he looked at him carefully, and the beggar is asking for few shillings, his heart felt strongly about the son. A few shillings, he said, only a few shillings? You are my son, he said to the beggar. Everything I have is yours, my son. What must be a very extraordinary and unforgettable experience that beggar must have experienced, isn't it? He's only asking for a few pence or shillings. And yet, the businessman whom the son does not recognize, or the beggar does not recognize, but the father is there, truly convinced that this is his son. He has been putting in the newspaper that his son is lost, but somewhere from north to south, east to west, his son must be somewhere. But he met him at this point. Everything I have, my son, is yours. What a joyful reunion that be, isn't it? This picture, many Christians who are ignorant or negligent of their spiritual resources. They are negligent that they are the children of the King, yet live spirit and they live like spiritual paupers, like a beggar. Can you imagine if we are children of God and then we don't know our spiritual resources in Christ? Look at, I read it again. Look at what the Apostle Paul saying, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In other words, we have all these blessings, spiritual enrichment, spiritual great inheritance in Christ. But we must read them, as we can choose some of these verses now. As Christians, you possess every spiritual resource that you need to fulfill God's will for our individual lives. You did not pray for more love, because love in Christ is abundant. For more grace, grace is sufficient to meet all our needs, because the grace of God never runs out. It is actually springs more day by day. It overflows. For example, because His love is already poured out in your heart through the Holy Spirit in Romans 5:5. Let's just turn to that reminder of spiritual blessings, the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. It says here, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. You see, the love of Christ that is poured out by the Holy Spirit through our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God in our hearts is there. We must experience it. We must experience it, because Christ is in us. The triune God lives in us, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that the fruits of the Holy Spirit is bestowed upon us, which is love, the first one, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and self-control. And we miss this so much when we look miserable. We have the great blessings, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There is the same truth of joy in John 15:11. Let's continue to move back a little bit from Romans. John 15:11. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy remain in you, and that your joy may be full. I want to back up in verse 11 because of the love that was mentioned in Romans 5:5. Verse 10, it says, in the same John chapter 15, verse 11, let's back up a little bit on verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see, that's again a reminder that when we obey God's commandment, the love of Christ overflows in our hearts because of the love of the Father that's in us, which was poured out to us by the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is the first one, which is love, okay? And also the joy, or the peace, okay? The peace. And verse 11, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. We are asking for more joy and joy and joy, and yet the joy is there already. You must ask the Holy Spirit to rejuvenate, to reproduce in us, to let the Holy Spirit make us feel the joy, experience the joy again and again, which is already bestowed upon us. And the peace I'm talking about a while ago is John 14, 27. Let's back up a little bit, one chapter from chapter 15. Let's go down a bit to John 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. This is what it says. Peace I leave with you. This is our Lord Jesus speaking. in red letters. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, we are commanded not to be afraid. And yet, because we don't lavish in prayer, in asking God to continually pour out this joy and peace and love of Christ, we need to continue to draw, as in your bank account, you draw resources, isn't it? We must continue to draw the love and joy and the peace that we have in Christ, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Okay? John 14:27 indicate that to us very clear. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. The world only show love to those who love them. The world's love is so limited. People love only those who love them, who show love to them. But the love of Christ is beyond measure. He loved us to the uttermost, so that he gave himself for us to die on the cross for our sin. And then the strength that we need, the strength that we need on a daily basis. Philippians 4:13. Let's move a bit back, forward now from Romans, from John. Philippians 4:13. So we are actually in Ephesians chapter 1 a while ago. The next book is Ephesians. Philippians, now chapter 4. The strength I mentioned just now. Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see the promise? That Paul cannot do in his own strength. I'm sure he was tempted to master his own strength, but he learned to depend upon God's strength through our Lord Jesus Christ, so that he can say with confidence now, as it is written for our encouragement, that Paul, with confidence, he can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, or strengthens me. Strengtheneth is the word in the King James, but I have a New King James, who strengthens me. What spiritual blessings that we have in every places in Christ Jesus. And every other resources you need, we have. These are only just the verses, but the love that we need, the true joy, the peace that passeth all understanding, and the strength. They are all summarized, complete, in Galatians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13, which I've been repeating. Galatians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. Let's just go back to that. Oh, I missed that verse. The fruits of the Holy Spirit. Is it in Galatians? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's Galatians chapter 5. I'm sorry, I misquoted it. 522, yeah. Yeah, 522. Galatians, it's not chapter 2. You must add 2 to the Galatians 2. So it's chapter 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, verse 23, self-control, against such thing, against such, there is no law. So again, I mentioned them a while ago, but I did not refer to the verse, but they are in Galatians 5, 20-23. So dearly beloved, the key to spiritual growth and progress and victory is try to learn and unlearn the things that easily beset us. Learning the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in through Christ Jesus. That is the key that we already have. And we should not be seeking for more, because they are already poured out upon us as child of God. They are just if you have a bank account, and most people have a bank account now, we have to withdraw day by day. We have to press the number, the book. We have all ready. That is there. Can you imagine? If there is no money that comes out, you will be disappointed. You go to your bank. Why? I have money there. In Christ Jesus, we have every spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And we should withdraw. We should draw them continually to enrich ourselves. That is a sad experience, as has been pictured, that sometimes we look so gloomy in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of uncertain world, in the midst of this wicked world, in the midst of trials and difficulties, which is in the big word tribulation. We look so sad. People are watching us. Look at that man who claimed himself to be Christian. He looked miserable. You see, our face as Christians contaminates. So we must exude the joy, the strength, and the love and peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, and self-control. We must show that. But because of some sin, let's go immediately confess those sins so that God will cleanse us and rekindle in our hearts the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So help us, O Lord. Ask the Lord to give us the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Help us, like our bank account, to withdraw from them. In other words, let's get more of it, more of the fruits. That is, if we don't, just like when we need money, we look miserable, right? But when we withdraw money, we look happy because we can get some money. But what about our resources in Christ? We don't withdraw every day instantly. So, dearly beloved, let us not be miserable. We have the newness of Christ. If a person is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, the new has come. The spiritual realities, spiritual blessings has been poured out upon us. They were given in our individual account through Christ Jesus. Our bank is in heaven in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our bank's name is Jesus Christ. And our sword code is the Holy Spirit. You see? The Holy Spirit gives those fruits. And we must learn how to draw from them day by day, so that what this world is doing and through the schemes of the devil, it will never discourage us. So when we draw our spiritual resources, like the Apostle Paul, he can say in the end, I can do all things through Christ who always strengthened me. Dear beloved, may this word of God will assure us and carry these homes in our bed tonight, lavishing our minds, strengthening our minds, enriching our minds with joy and delight in the God of our salvation. Because these spiritual resources are there for us already on account of our Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing our last hymn. Bye. Amen.